this week we kick off the Advent series, which is the lead up to Christmas. It's a time to share in readings and to look to God and different themes around God. And today we look at the theme of hope. And Christmas is a real story about hope, a hope for humanity. Do you find that? Yeah? Three people do? Excellent. So three of us are on board, but it's a real story and a journey towards Christ, the coming of Christ. So Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for the opportunity to open the Word. And as we do that, Father, I just pray that you may just speak to our hearts, that you teach us the things that we need this Christmas, the things that we need to grow in, and also the grace that was so delicately poured out by you. So we just pray, Lord, that you work through us today. Amen. Amen. So I wonder, how many people have begun preparing for Christmas? There's a few people that are pre-organized. Who's put up the tree? So some people have already begun preparing and planning and booking in things and doing that. If it wasn't for my wife, I probably wouldn't be so organized in that department. And we actually put up our tree before the December for the first time, but we had a Christmas party a few weeks ago. So that was our excuse to put the lights on the house. But admittedly, I haven't put them on yet. But it certainly, there comes an excitement. We're out the front and Nathaniel's off the top of the roof. He was loving that, being up there. And the neighbours stopped and they go, oh, you're putting the lights up, we're going to put ours up. And just the sense of excitement and anticipation. You know, you've got people who have purchased all their gifts and done all that. I haven't even started. There's, you know, what did I say? Three Sundays till Christmas. That means I've got 2.5 Saturdays to start my shopping. Anyway, we'll get to that. But there's plenty of time to get all those things in order. Some people are super organized and some aren't. But either way, when we look forward to an event, a gathering, a coming together, when we look forward to those things, we often prepare for what's ahead. If you're going to go on a holiday, some people just leave it to the last minute and jump on a plane and see where we end up. But I'm sure many actually, you know, take the time to plan, to invite, to do all those different things together. But in today's reading, we're going to be reading from Romans. Paul writes to the Romans, motivating them in godly living. Paul is encouraging them to live in a particular way to do that. Paul is urging them to prepare for the fullness of salvation that is yet to come. So we're going to have the reading up on the screen.
This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is, time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, the day of salvation will soon be here. So, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes, and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires.
Paul makes three points, well actually makes many points, but probably three points I want to focus on this morning to help us live out a life of faith. And the first is to prepare by being aware. Prepare by being aware. First, Paul tells the Romans to prepare for what's ahead, specifically by telling them to be aware of the time that they are in. Not that it is 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but remember the era that they are in. Paul's word for that time was here, points to the character of the age, of the experience that they are in, a time in which Jesus Christ had come and bought them salvation and grace, but in which full salvation was still yet to come. Full salvation was still yet to come at that time. So many of us live busy lives, and I'm sure if I asked for a raise of hands at who's had a busy week, I'm sure many would put their hands up because it just seems like things are crazy again, yeah? the things. It's just like you got a list of things to get to. You don't seem to get it all done. I know that's what I feel like sometimes. You feel like you're juggling so many things. But sometimes in our busyness, we can often lose track of the big picture. Or I can lose track of the big picture. Things can creep up on us. And I wonder if you've ever noticed the Christmas decorations in the shop, and you look at them and go, is it that time already? Only because they put them up in September, but we won't go into that. It's not quite that time, but perhaps when you experience that, you have a sinking feeling that comes and realise that you miss certain key things. Seeing things like birthdays, anniversaries, or just have forgotten to prepare. Or you might have found yourself on an overseas holiday and discovered that in a hurry to leave, you forgot to arrange someone to look after your pet or water the plants. But we can get caught up and to forget to raise our eyes, and I'm certainly guilty of that. Not forgetting my pet, not watering the plant, you know, that's usually taken care of, but yeah. In this passage in Romans, Paul speaks about unexpected comings and the need to be prepared. And these words were written in the context of the uncertainty of Roman rule and the promise of the establishment of God's new kingdom on earth. The new kingdom that would bring hope, restoration of faith, strength, confidence, and the joy to God's people. Do you like that? The joy to God's people. In Romans 13:11, Paul urges readers, including us, to look to these things, to open up our eyes. The time for sleeping has passed and our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Paul calls us to be aware of what is happening, and he wants us to snap out of the mindless busyness and to focus on the big picture. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? To snap out of the busyness, to not get caught up in all the stuff, but to be reminded of the big picture of God. It can also help us feel more grateful or mindful of others or mindful of God's leading. But as we pause and gather here today and start to think about the start of this season of Advent, I wonder if there's some questions that you might consider. And they are, what is God revealing to you about the people around you? What is God revealing to you about your neighbours? What is God revealing to you about your friends and how you're going to interact with them? How is God leading you? Are you allowing God to lead your life? I like this one. What are you grateful for today? What's one thing that you're grateful for today? Are there people God wants us to reach out to? And what's that one thing that he wants to say to you today? So what does Paul encourage us to do? To be prepared, to prepare by being aware. Then second of all, prepare through right living. He talks about this right living. Paul says that we should prepare through right living. The first steps here is putting off, taking off, removing those, what he says is clothes of dark deeds. The word used here is to put off or to remove. The points to decisive action, to actually do something about it rather than to contemplate. We need to make a deliberate choice to turn away from behaviours that take us away from relationship with God, to turn away from the ways of the world and step into our redeemed nature in Jesus Christ. I really like that line, actually underlined it here in my own sermon. Step into our redeemed nature in Jesus Christ. What is a redeemed nature in Jesus Christ? Paul was instructing the church in Rome about how to live as followers. Those who have been brought up in a Jewish culture were used to learning about laws and rules of living. They were very much about that. And from a very young age, children were instructed in and required to memorize the law, to memorize scripture. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning. But that's what they really used that, and they still to this very day. But Jesus brought freedom, but this also brought confusion as well as how to actually live. For some, freedom meant the law meant a swift decline into wild parties and fights and immoral living. But Paul called for a halt to this kind of living, to move away from that, to encourage them to hold on to the salvation they had already received and to look forward to and prepare for the fullness that was to come. So we talk about this thing about the kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom of God, which is here amongst us now, but it doesn't come to fruition or to completion until we have we're living eternally with Jesus. He says in Romans 13:12, and it's going to be up on the screen there for us, "The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put them on the put on the shining armor of right living. A new day is dawn. It's time to get ready. Just as the morning we take off our pajamas and dress for the day." I do. It's up to you whether you do that or not. But Paul tells us that it's time to get ready for the new era. The new era, the clothing that we are to change is how we behave. Paul uses a similar metaphor in Ephesians 6. In verses 14 to 17, he says these words.
"Be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist, and let God's justice protect you like armor. Your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword use God's message that comes from the Spirit."
So remember, Paul writes in an era where they were very familiar with Roman soldiers, weren't they? They were very familiar with these full armors to protect the body in battle. They were used to that. And he uses these metaphors, but as an example of how we should live. The armor to protect us from the temptation and influences that might distract us, to pull us back into old habits, to be able to take a stand like a soldier would take a stand. So you might ask, what does right living look like? And I want to look at this a little bit. One of the things that come to mind for me is that we are made in God's image. We hear that from Scripture. Do you believe that? You're made in the image of God. If so, already our core values, our core beliefs, we already have them within us. Doesn't mean we're living them out, but it means some of those things are already there among us already in the way that God has put us together, has knitted us together. Sometimes maybe we need to listen to that inner being or let them come to the surface. But if you want something a little more scriptural, in the previous chapter of Romans, in chapter 12, Paul provides us some practical examples on how to get ready for right living. And some of those practical examples are these. It's speak out with faith, with grace, of course. You know, I think we've got to speak a lot of things with grace. To serve others. How do we serve others? To be encouraging. To give generously. To lead our lives well. To practice hospitality. And even one of those things that we tell kids all the time when they fight in the playground. Not that I'm a teacher, but you know, you hear it, or in kids' ministry, be kind to others. Some things like that, just to be kind to others. And a summary of Romans 12, and it says this, is up on the screen as well. Paul goes on to say, to love each other with genuine affection, take delight in honouring each other, to work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically, rejoice, hope, and be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. There's some real practical things in that reading there, isn't it, that we can hold on to love each other with genuine affection, take delight in honoring each other, work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically, rejoice, hope, and be patient in trouble, and to keep on praying. Paul goes on to say in verse 10 to 18, to love each other with a genuine affection, to take delight. He says it's to be present with others in their joy and in their sorrow, to live in harmony and with integrity, not to be proud or superior, and not to think we know it all, but to live a life of humility. Then in verse 20, this is perhaps the hardest thing of all, to treat our enemies with compassion and kindness. Do you find that hard? That can be hard when people come against us, to treat them with compassion and kindness. Ouch. That is a tall order. But that's what he calls us to. It's a long list, and I wonder how is God prompting you today about right living in these areas that we're talking about. Are you prepared for Christmas, and how is God asking you to adjust your habits and your ways of living? And finally, to prepare by clothing yourselves in the presence of Jesus. Paul encourages or tells us to do that. The metaphor of putting on Christ is strong. Here Paul is not just talking about putting on Jesus' character, he's describing a deep union and intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's something more than just, you know, carrying your Bible around or putting on a particular cloak or a shirt that says a slogan on it, but it's describing more that deep union and intimacy with Jesus. Brother Lawrence, a monk and an author in the Christian classic, The Practice of the Presence of God, said, "The most holy and important practice in spiritual life is the presence of God, that is, every moment to take great pleasure that God is with you." Let me read that again. The most holy and important practice in the spiritual life is the presence of God, that is, every moment to take great pleasure that God is with you. Do you ever stop and recognize that God is with you? Do you ever do that? I think it's one of those things that even as I was writing and pulling this together for today, I thought, well, how many times through the day do you stop and just recognize that God is there with us in our moments? God is with you. Maybe you may say that you might not feel that, or you might not recognize it. But sometimes even just speaking out, saying, you know, God, I acknowledge that you're with us. God, that you're here with me. Particularly when we're facing things and challenges in our life. Jesus Christ's presence will protect us. Imagine for a moment that you're preparing for a trip. It's cold out there. You dress one layer after the other. You add sturdy boots and finally over the top a nice big warm coat. You're prepared for what you're about to experience. The presence of Jesus surrounds us like these layers, protecting us and allowing us to move into the midst of what we're going to experience in life. He's going to surround us and walk with us. Practicing walking in the presence prepares us for life now and for eternity. It also helps us to point others to him. What would our lives be like if we had an awareness of his presence with us every moment of the day? I wonder what that would look like. And maybe you do. As Christmas approaches, let us make a choice to talk with him and pay attention to his presence with us throughout each day. Maybe if things that remind you about Christmas, be reminded when you look to those things that Jesus is here with us. I want the final slide, if we can have that up, Mel, on the screen, is a response for today. Maybe like a prayer. It says, let us prepare ourselves for the new thing he is doing. Being aware, right living, and allowing ourselves to be wrapped in the presence of Jesus Christ every day. I wonder this morning as a response whether you would say that with me as an acknowledgement. Let's read that together. Let us prepare ourselves for the new thing he is doing. Be aware, living right, and allowing ourselves to be wrapped in the presence of Jesus Christ every day. Prepare ourselves for being aware of his presence. Shall we pray? Father God, as we have come this morning to hear from your word, I just pray that during this season of Advent that we can prepare ourselves for the new thing that you're doing amongst us. Lord, when we look externally, we see so many things go on and think, or even question, what might you be doing? But I just pray that you prepare in our hearts the things that you are doing in our world, in our sphere of influence, in our families, that you would prepare us for that, prepare us for the new things. And help us, Father, to go throughout and be reminded that this season we celebrate your Son coming to earth, Jesus living amongst us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And as we do that, as we prepare, may we remind ourselves each time we buy something for Christmas lunch, shop for a gift for someone, that be reminded that this season is about the gift that you first gave us. Help us to practice the presence of you with us every day, wherever we find ourselves. So Father, today, as we leave this place, go with us and before us, that you may guide us and strengthen us in all that we do. Help us to live with your presence wrapped around us each day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll leave you these words as we leave here this morning. It's entitled an Advent prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate your coming. We wait, we anticipate, and we are filled with hope, knowing your light will shine in the darkness. We wait, anticipating your peace, believing that one day it will fill our world. We wait, embracing your love, and may we reach out to share our stories of faith with our neighbours. We wait with joy, bubbling in us the expectation and anticipation of the celebration of your birth. Lord, we wait. Come soon and fill us with your presence. Amen and amen. Bless you each. Good to see you today. Have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.